Well, we're nice and quiet. We'll start a minute early. How's that? Father, we thank you that we can gather in your name. We thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you for the standing invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace in order to find help in time of any trouble. And so, Lord, this morning, as we begin this hour, looking at another psalm, Lord, and looking at prayer in the psalms, may we receive from you what you would have for us. And then as we go to prayer, may you lead us by your Spirit to pray effectively. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we go through the psalms, we have been in, of course, such well-known psalms, 23, 24, 25. And so I decided to stay in the order today with Psalm 26. How many of you have Psalm 26 as your favorite? How many of you even know anything about Psalm 26? It's not one of the favorite psalms, and it's not very well known, so I thought, well, let's look at it and see what we can get out of an unfavorite psalm, or certainly not a favorite psalm, and we will see that it's about David praying for vindication, praying for exoneration, and praying to be and continue to be restored to the Lord and to walk with the Lord, not so much restoring, but nobody knows. When we look at these psalms, we like to try to understand when it was written in David's career because it tells us a lot about where he was. And psalms, one of the beautiful things about psalms, there's a psalm for every occasion that you will run into. There are psalms for when you're at the top. Psalms for when you're at the bottom. Most of the ones we know the best are when you're at the bottom because we can relate to that a lot. But, and then there are psalms all the way in between. So this psalm is in response apparently to David's being falsely accused over and over again. And he tries to make a defense to the Lord that he is actually staying pretty close to the Lord. And so because of that, we'll get into it and you can see. So I just thought we would begin by singing the hymn really written from this, a very similar question in Psalm 139, Search Me, O God, and Know My Heart. So let's begin by just singing the Search Me, O God, Cleanse Me. Know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. So let's begin singing that and then we'll get into this psalm. As we mentioned briefly, we have psalms for every occasion, really, and this is an occasion where David is actually asking the Lord to judge him. I don't know if I've ever asked that. I don't think I ever will. I would rather cry out for mercy than for judgment. But apparently David had this buildup within him, at least this time anyway, of being accused wrongfully for so many things. You know, when Saul was chasing him, and we don't know when this psalm was written, but it certainly, I don't believe it was written after Bathsheba's sin and after some of the sins later on in David's life, or I don't think he would have said what he says in this psalm, although I don't know that. But we see here that he was falsely accused by Saul all the time. He was running, And then you know when Saul was killed in battle, then his son Ishbosheth took the throne for 2 years. And during that time, there was all this chaos, and David's general Joab killed Abner, cold blood, and David had no part of that. He didn't want any part of that. In fact, he even fasted until the day was done when they had the memorial kind of burial service and so forth. And he made a very big point that he did not approve of that and he had no part of it. And then about soon after that, then a couple of these guys of Ishbosheth's troop leaders, Baanah and Rahab, went and killed Ishbosheth. And they cut his head off and took his head to David, thought they would get a big reward for this. And David had them killed because he said, no, I cannot approve of that, taking the life of a man in cold blood. And so he was making quite a statement there that he didn't have any part with that kind of thing. If this is one that was written, it seems to fit, but maybe we don't know that that's true. We don't know when it was written. In the last Psalm, Psalm 25, verse 21, his prayer was, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. So we will have the word integrity following in today's Psalm, given to us two different times. He begins Psalm 26 by, judge me or vindicate me, O Lord, for I've walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Now, this is a good definition here of what we have in the Scripture when we say, judge not one another. We get that so mixed up today, where we're reminded not to judge anybody of anything, which that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, love good, hate evil. You got to judge something to know whether it's good or evil, right? But this judge here, this judge me or vindicate me, is the judge in a courtroom pronouncing sentence. After hearing all the motives and all everything behind, then they pronounce a sentence. We're not pronouncing a sentence on anybody, right? That's the judging we're not to do, because we don't know the motives. And if we sentence somebody, we've got to assume the motives, and that's where we get into trouble. So any sinner today will say, don't judge me, brother. Well, you're not really judging them, and according to the Bible, when they're in deep sin, you love them and you don't want them to ruin their lives because of what they're in, and you're not sentencing them. Only God is going to sentence them. I'm not talking about criticizing you and where you're going. I'm just talking about you're not on the best path, and the Bible says you're not on the best path. And I need to know the best paths from the worst paths, right? I don't need to know, well, all paths are fine. I don't want to say anything against anybody. That wouldn't be love. It's not love if you let a person continue in sin knowing where it's leading to, right? That's not love. So we see here then that David says, vindicate me, O Lord. Pronounce sentence on me, O Lord. Now that's a bold thing, isn't it? And then he has six I haves in here. Now, I can't think of six times I could have ever done anything right, so this doesn't fit me very well. But he says, I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. There's two of them right there, I have. I shall not slip. Now, there is a good point here in this, and that is, if you are walking with the Lord, then when something terrible happens, you're in a good position to respond to that, because you don't have to pull back and get yourself right with the Lord before you can even get to the problem, right? So David is coming from a position here, I haven't done a lot of bad things, and these charges are false. And so, Lord, vindicate me. And verse 2, examine me. Now he's going to ask for three things. This, again, is a bold prayer. Examine me, prove me, or test me, and try me. Try me means like put me in the fire like a metal and turn up the heat and burn off the dross. So he's got three things he's asking the Lord to do. Examine me, prove me, try my mind and my heart. Wow. Have you ever prayed that prayer? I haven't. I don't know my own heart. All I can say is my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. I don't think I could ever stand on saying, boy, try my heart. I mean, you know, every time I do that, Psalm 139, and it says, and see if there's any wicked way in me, I just kind of gloss over that because I already see all these wicked ways. It's not if there's anything. But try me and forgive me, Lord. And then he goes on. I love this. He goes to the goodness of God. He says, what? For your loving kindness. For your loving kindness is before my eyes. How quick does the Lord's loving kindness come into your mind when somebody accuses you of something that you didn't do. Not very quickly, usually does. It's like, yo, what do you mean accusing me? I didn't do that. And you get it all in a defensive position, and it's all about you, and it's nothing about the Lord at that point, really. But he comes pretty quickly, for or because your loving kindness is before my ways, and here's another I have, and I have walked in your truth. Now, you know, Psalm 119 is such a great psalm, 173 verses about the Word of God. And many times in that psalm, David is saying things that I could never say, like, you know, I will keep your commandments, I will do your statutes, I will not turn from your way, and so forth. But when it gets all done, what does he say in the last verse? He says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep, but I've not forgotten your commandments. So he ends up with the acknowledgement that he needs the Lord. And that's where we're going to end up in this psalm as well. So I have walked in your truth. I have not, says another, I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. Another, I have hated the assembly of the evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence so that I will go about your altar, O Lord. And then there's a big word there, that. Why is he doing this? That I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. That's a great verse, isn't it? Are you proclaiming with voice of thanksgiving and telling of all of the Lord's wondrous works in your life? People see you and that message comes through. And when they see you, they say, oh, he's going to brag on the Lord again today. I know that. Or are they saying, oh, going to be another whole litany of all his problems and her problems and, oh, how tough life is and nothing's going right. I mean, and there was seasons in life too, don't get me wrong. But we see here then that I may proclaim with voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Then he says, Lord, I have, this is the last I have, I believe, Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. How much do you love the habitation of his house? How much do you really love meeting with the body of Christ? He says, I have loved it. Now he asks another prayer for protection in a way. Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hand is a sinister scheme and whose right hand is full of bribes. That's the world. And because of our gracious Lord, we are not going to spend eternity with the world. That's why he's saying even now, come out from among them, right? Be separate. Don't be living like the world. So he says, don't put my soul with sinners or with bloodthirsty men. I mean, I can just imagine, I have fortunately never spent a night in jail, but I can imagine spending a night in jail and going into a cell with who knows what, you know, and thinking, I don't want to be here, right? But that's what he says. Do not gather my soul with sinners. And then the close is really, he's really back on the right track again here now, having just asking for this vindication. He says, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity, and notice his plea, redeem me and be merciful to me. That's the part of the prayer that I think stands out to me, redeem me, O Lord, and be merciful to me. So if you want to pray for judgment, you can pray for judgment, but I'm going to pray for mercy. And then he says, my foot stands in a sure place or in an even place because why? I'm walking with you and I'm walking with your word. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. So living a godly life, living a life after the word of God enables you to have an even place to stand on. You're not standing on a slippery slope. And it enables you to be a blessing to others in the congregation, right? So that's what we have here in Psalm 26. It's a prayer for divine scrutiny and redemption. Knowing David, and he's such an artistic kind of a guy, so he has these great highs and these great lows and all shades in between. And the psalm today was, I think, a good one to look at when you've been falsely accused, and you just don't feel like you've been treated right and so forth, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord, but ask for mercy. Go to the Lord and ask for mercy. And pray for those who come against you, who are falsely accusing you, right? Father, we thank you for Psalm 26. We thank you for all the Psalms, really. We thank you for your word, period. And Lord, now as we have the opportunity to pray, lead us as we pray for the church, as we pray for our nation, as we would pray for the law enforcement people, as we would pray for our missionaries, as we would pray for just each one of us to walk in accordance with your will perfectly and to be in your word and in praying every day, Lord, that we would just have these moments now of being led by your Spirit and praying as we ought. So lead us now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for hearing our cry, Lord. Father, these remaining few moments here, I just want to pray for a few of these world leaders, Lord. I know you tell us to pray for all men, to pray for kings and those in authorities, Lord. And we know that about 80% of the world's population are under these men, Lord, and how they need you, how they need to have the fear of you in their eyes. I pray for Xi Jinping in China, Lord, and Narendra Modi in India. Pray for Donald Trump in the USA, for Joko Widodo in Indonesia, for Jair Bolsonaro in Brazil, Arif Alvi in Pakistan, Muhammadu Buhari in Nigeria, Hasina Wazed in Bangladesh, Vladimir Putin in Russia, Lopez Obrador in Mexico. Those are the top 10 populated countries, I believe. And then also just praying for Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel, and Merkel in Germany, and May in UK, and Kim Jong-un in North Korea, Moon Jae-in in South Korea, and Lord, the list goes on. And we pray for the church around the world, Lord. We pray for the bodies of Christ. We pray for every believer. We know that you have a remnant in every tribe and tongue, Lord. And we know that none are without excuse, Lord, because they can see you through nature. They can see you through creation. They can see you in the sunrise. And so, Lord, I just pray for those you're calling to turn to you today, Lord, that they would be yours. We are waiting, and we know that the fullness of the Gentiles, when it comes in, that you will have us out of here. And, Lord, we thank you for every day until then, that we have that opportunity to show your love. And even as David would say here, that he was able to proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of your wondrous works. Lord, may that be forthcoming through each of our lives, Lord, as we are witnesses of you, maybe not so much what we say, but how we live and what we do. And Lord, I want to pray for each one here. I just thank you for their faithfulness to pray and their awareness that prayer is so important. And I pray for relationships, Lord. I pray for marriages. I pray for the marriages in this room. I pray for the marriages that people know of in this room, that they could be even closer. And I pray for those unequal yoke marriages, that there would be a consummation of those marriages spiritually, Lord, that both husband and wife would be loving you first, and they would love one another for sure, but loving you above all else, Lord. I pray for children. I pray for those wayward ones. I pray for those that were walking with you and have now drifted away, Lord, for whatever reason, Lord. I just pray that they would be heeding your call to come back, to come home. And Lord, we know how you are longing and watching the horizon for the figure to come on, just as we read in the prodigal son parable, Lord. And so we thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for Calvary Chapel. I thank you for all the churches. I thank you for those churches. I pray every pastor tomorrow would be proclaiming your word. I pray for a minimization of worldly things and minimization of cultural things and all the things of that are not of you, and be focusing on what is of you, Lord. And you are so awesome, and you are so good, and your word is so powerful. We just need it, because one word from your word is worth 10,000 of the best words of any orator in the world, Lord. We want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. And when we say that, Lord, we know there are 1,189 chapters. We know there are 31,000 verses. And so, Lord, how can we say, I don't hear from you? How many of the 800,000 words or whatever it is in the Bible do we not really comprehend, or do we not pay attention to? Lord, it is your breathed word, Lord. May we honor it. And Lord, I want to pray for quiet times for each of us here, Lord, that we would cherish those times every day alone with you, somehow, some way, to get alone with you and spend that time. You've given us 24 hours. It's not that we don't have time. It's that we don't make time, Lord. Yeah. With the busyness of the schedule, Lord, it's so easy to not bow down before you and just spend that time waiting on you and listening to you and being in your word, Lord. We do need to pray, and we do need to be in your Bible, Lord. We know every day, Lord. So thank you. Good to preach to the choir, Lord, because this choir is great. And I thank you for them. And lead us now, and may you be glorified in each of our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.